for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Pleb Underground, EP82, not bought by corporate, not like fake you. Sometimes creation can feel subpar, a couple strokes missing, an eagle, scar, everyone shredded as if they're already brawling, yellow embedded, Don Lemon, aid stalling, money flows slow from those not in society, money flows blow, a hose on their sobriety. It's all language, so with each block, that contains transactions, that's writer's block, with kosher filters, can't go ham, hock, till the hilter, but wait a second, damn, rock. Train all the time, but please have a week off. Build up your strength. Can't be weak off center, not full length. Don't look Greek. Doff off your caps. Lock up the hood. Peak. Cough. Stacking sats, stacking days. With menial work, you're stuck in a daze. Dreaming of days when you could just blaze, but you want to look like flower. Level up, just self raise. I rhyme for myself, but you get to hear it. Each rhyme has itself, and I get to steer it. There's 21 million, you can get nearer, but your time is more scarce, and you cannot fear it. They say a man has two lives, and the second begins when he realizes his first is his only, sins homely, but wait the second, you can't muddy the waters, when it's the third, he get hung, drawn in quarters. Want a quarter back? That's 25 million, clutch, weeks, back to back, rev, 0.5 of a billion, touchdown, cheeks on my lap, she rides the pillion, such a gown, cheeks I make clap, they hide the trillion, much love, not spread like Cantillon, no, Cantillon, that's frankly wrong. Check Caitlin Long, short politics, long Bitcoin, fuck DCA, smashed by hits from the bong. Fuck fiat food, fuck your BK, they don't care for your health, don't want you BK. Now you care for your wealth, just want some BK. The party in Boston was not about the TK.
Absolutely awesome. Guys, welcome back to the Pleb Underground. In case you didn't understand, who is joining us? We've got fellow Bitcoiner, pleb, and co-host of Orange Sun Spaces. We've got TK or Toxicath joining us on the show. Or is it TK underscore op underscore attack? I don't know. What's going on, man?
All of the above. Everything's an attack on Bitcoin.
It's true. And we're all enemies, frenemies. All right. We're going to move it on over to the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers, of course. Sourced from Time Chain Stats and Time Chain Calendar, but brought to you by BTC Prague. If you've heard my voice before, you may have heard me say fuck shitcoins. This conference is, if fuck shitcoins was a conference, this is BTC Prague, the biggest and longest running Bitcoin only conference in the world. With over 10,000 attendees, hundreds of speakers, there's going to be quite the party. You can get 10% off all of the tickets if you use the code PLEB. And if you spend in Bitcoin, you will get a further 5% off your ticket. So that's a 15% discount in total using the code PLEB, paying in Bitcoin. This is BTC Prague.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 837,862. The fiat Bitcoin exchange, 67,839. Wow, 68K Bitcoin dead. Anyways, total public Lightning capacity, 4,582 blocks to the halvening. We've got, 2138. Fastest fee, 7 sats per V-byte. It is consolidation time, and the Moscow time is 1474. Wow. Below 2K. The numbers. Pretty uneventful. Nobody cares. I've never seen, I can't believe that we're sitting where we are and just nobody gives a shit.
It's cold, Phil. It's cold. Yeah. People say we're in a bull market, but it's freezing out here, man. It's cold.
Speaking of cold, what's...
You gotta keep warm. You gotta stay warm, right? Because it's cold.
What's the deal?
People say it's a bear market. A bull market, but I'm pretty sure there's still bears around here. You gotta have your wits about you. You gotta be prepared to be in the woods for weeks, man. There's bears out here.
Walton, we're gonna ask the question. Why the hat? Talking about cold, talking about bears, you got this hat.
Exactly. What's going on? I'm ready.
Uh-oh. Is he signaling we're going lower? All right. All right, we're just gonna piss everybody off. TK.
No, I bought the dip the other day, and like I'm up like 3-4% like immediately. It's beautiful.
I mean, it's like the gold bugs. Have you guys seen the gold bugs? They've been running laps on us because they're up like what $100 in the last 20 years. It's ridiculous.
Hey, listen, 4,000 years. It's nothing to laugh at. Okay, these guys, they are gonna have their time now. Now they're laughing. Okay, those OG hodlers, they're finally winning. Finally winning on that gold bet. But yeah, I've noticed a few more gold accounts, like this Nostra House of Gold, who just totally self-owning himself. Wait, self-owning himself. I just went full circle. Self-owning. Stop. That's it. That's where it ends. All right, let's take a look at our first set of numbers. Let's go. Okay, so the first article we're going to take a look at that is numbers related. So this is recorded on Friday, April 5th, okay? And on this day in 1975, right, supposedly, Bitcoin creator Satoshi Nakamoto was born, according to what is documented, but we all don't think that's really true. Anyway, although it's most probably not his real birthday, Satoshi used this specific date when registering for an account on the P2P Foundation forum. One possible explanation
behind
it. Looks
like a guinea pig, Phil. Looks like a guinea pig. I don't think that's Satoshi. Like,
I know. I don't think so either. But look. Let's just.
Not Satoshi, man. That's fake news.
I don't believe. You know what, though? But look at the story. This is pretty good, right? Tinfoil hat. So the explanation behind it would be a reference to April 5th, 1933, when Franklin D. Roosevelt issued Executive Order 6102, prohibiting private gold ownership in the United States and for all U.S. citizens worldwide. So that is kind of, I don't know. And then look, even further, in 1975 would therefore be a reference to when Gerald Ford reappealed Executive Order 6102 and made gold ownership legal again. Turn it off. I don't know. I mean, look, this is just funny stuff, right? We don't know if it's true. It's just entertaining. It is interesting that he chose that date, and we can all just sit here and imagine all the reasons. Anyways, moving on, some bigger numbers. Maybe this should have been in the Hopium. You guys decide. Let us know. Should this chart have been in the Hopium? Here's a tweet from DJ Satoshi, fellow Bitcoiner. Reminder to the gold bugs. Ooh, those gold bugs, they're back. What's better, shiny rocks or the most secure data network? And indeed, we are learning. We are learning, and this is a nice visualization here by Cooligan Fields. And here we go, just to, right, zoom out. Bitcoin's all the way at the bottom of this chart, right? That's where we are. Look at real estate, $326.5 trillion. Now, I'm guessing that's worldwide? Or is that just the U.S.? Thinking that's worldwide. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I think that one probably is maybe worldwide. I don't know. Just in my general area here in Orange County, like I drive around and I see just empty commercial real estate after empty commercial, just buildings that were for businesses that have just shuttered and just closed and they're just open and vacant. Old banks, old strip malls. It's just, it's out of control. It's like what bank is holding all these illiquid shitcoin real estates properties on their balance sheets that they're probably upside down in because of the increase of the interest rates?
The answer is probably your mom's banks, guys. And so therefore you need to help your mom get out of the fiat system, because right now the fiat system is wronging your mom. So like, please help your mom. Otherwise, the fiat world's going to keep fucking your mom.
We've actually been talking about this, right? Like kind of like the next bubble to burst and like possibly the different elements, right? I do think that crypto is going to have a play in this. I think that legacy banking, specifically what BlackRock is going to bring with their tokenization. I think all of this plus commercial real estate. I think commercial real estate is going to be one of those situations where they're just going to throw that into the bubble. Because let's face it, right? If you work for a company, you know that you guys aren't using as much office space as you used to. You know that office space is, if you still have it, it's empty and you're stuck paying for a lease that you're not using. So when does that lease end, right? That's the key. How many of these properties roll over? When do they roll over? This is not a real estate show. This is about Bitcoin. Moving on. Moving on, and of course, more real estate. Phil's just full of lies today. All right, so here we go at Need Creations. Can anyone explain this? That's right, guys. Again, another visual point to help you see. Look, houses are getting cheaper in terms of Bitcoin. Okay, in 2016, 664 Bitcoin, right, for a 288K house. And now take a look. Look at where we are. And this is the key, guys. The price of the house has gone up while the amount of Bitcoin has gone down. Okay, and this, what we're seeing, that variation, or that I should say that deviation, that's only going to get bigger, right? Like that all of a sudden doesn't change back, right? Like this only, I believe, gets worse. But I know it sounds all doom and gloomy. What are your thoughts, TK, the real estate?
Svetsky had one that said, it showed the pictures of the houses, or the, what was it? The Bitcoins were in the house. So like there was an infographic, showed a house, and then it showed the number of Bitcoins in the house that it took to buy it. And then it showed it getting smaller and smaller. And he said, at some point it's going to invert to where the Bitcoin, and it's going to show how many houses a single Bitcoin can buy inside. Because like you said, it's just going to continue that direction. There's no going back the other way.
Okay, so that's also kind of an interesting point. Have you guys seen the FUD about deflation? I put out a tweet yesterday, a screenshot that I got on Reddit, essentially about this article.
Deflation's a real thing, guys. Like, Svetsky gets shorter every year, and that's a real thing. Like, his height is deflating. Guys, I think there's like a, I don't know whether if there's an open sats thing or a guys a fund, but someone needs to start up a crowdfund to help treat victims of Svetsky syndrome, you know, people who are deflating in a height manner year on year. My thoughts and prayers go out to the families of those suffering.
That's brutal. Oh God. Okay, but in all seriousness, right? The reality is that they're going to try to convince us now that deflation, right? Prices of things going down are actually bad for you. Okay, so we also have this other weird thing with, again, and I don't know how this is widespread necessarily, but I know in the US, right, there's a lot of, discussion around, you know, the illegal immigration and all this stuff and adding people to the population. So an interesting way of driving wage growth down is by doing something like that. So it's kind of a weird scenario that we're in, right? You bring way more people in, right? Which creates more competition, which essentially lowers, you know, through market dynamics, the cost of labor. And then on top of that, the price of things is going up constantly. And we just showed that, you know, that chart, right? Where you can clearly see the houses are costing more, but yet they are costing less in terms of Bitcoin. So I don't know. I just don't feel that this ends well. And then on top of that, you know, we have organizations like the BN 2024, these people who are trying to push universal income for like the entire world. This is some weird shit. I don't know.
Do it. Accelerate.
Well, I mean, I'll just buy Bitcoin with it. So give me whatever you want. I'll just stack sats with it. But I don't think this ends well. I don't know. I don't think these benevolent dictators that we have no idea who they are really know what to do. And anyways.
Well, I think it's important to make the correct delineation between the two types of deflation, that credit deflation is bad, because credit deflation means that the economy had a bunch of IOU tokens issued for resources that don't exist in the economy. Therefore, we create, like, I think Guy Swan uses this analogy of, think of like a concert that's going to be put on. Well, all these people rent cars, they go to hotels, and the hotel staff gets hired because they're expecting an influx of all these people. But then all of a sudden, there's not enough resources to even put the show on altogether. So then now we have all this third, fourth order effects of the layoffs of all the hotel workers that they rehired, and the car companies that, you know, were going to rent all these cars out, and the flights that were going to be planned, and the stewardess that they hired. Like, there's so many other things. But then actual deflation of when humans are actually getting more efficient, better use of the actual resources in the economy. That is natural. That is normal in the economy. So it's important to delineate the differentiation of what type of deflation that they're talking about. But in the mainstream media narrative, they're always just trying to paint deflation overall as bad. Like, when was the last time that you looked at Black Friday prices and went, oh man, the price of that TV went down by $1,000. That's a bad thing. No, that didn't that make you want to go buy it and stand in line for 8 hours to go purchase that TV or that laptop or whatever?
But no, like, one will produce products, TK. No one will produce products anymore if the prices go down. They'll just go straight to zero. Like,
I'm like looking at the calendar, I'm like, the fuck bullshit. Are they talking about Black Friday? It's like 6 months away. Is it not more? Like, I'm like, what?
Stay in the game, Walton. Stay in the game.
Also, is that really deflation when they put the price down on Black Friday? I don't think it is. I think it's more that, like, you know, the $1,000 TV is getting better each year is the point.
But the TK's
it's not as
right?
good as
they're trying to create.
It's not getting as good as it could be, though. Like, if it wasn't for monetary debasement that steals that, yeah. Technological innovation is a hedge on debasement.
Something fixes this. I know that we like it. We like to collect it, and it fixes this. Guys, let us know what you think. Put it in the comments.
Wait, is it BTC pins?
Huh?
Is it BTC pins?
What?
The BTC pins thing that we like to collect. Well, that fixes things.
Well, it's BTC related. I mean, yeah, BTC pins for sure, but not like, you know, not if you want to store your value, not just collect things. You're gonna cut out the pins and just do the BTC. That's all.
That one.
Which one? The second one?
The Bitcoin. Yeah, get the Bitcoin.
The Bitcoin thing. Okay.
Yep. Good plan. Get the Bitcoin.
I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with us guys today. It's Friday. Anyways, look, let us know what you think. Put it in the comments, guys. That wraps up the numbers, and we are going to move it on over to the Fireside Chat. The Fireside Chat is brought to you by BTC Pins. Check them out at btcpins.com. Absolutely awesome pins. Use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND for 5% off these amazing pins. Guys, check out my collection. Yeah, that's right. 5% off. Use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND, btcpins.com. Welcome back, everyone. Fireside Chat. Let's do it. We've got TK, as you guys know. So TK, you and I, man, we've known each other for a minute, maybe even 2 minutes. Quite a while. And man, you're doing some pretty cool stuff in the Bitcoin space. I gotta say, I personally have not tuned into the Orange Sun Spaces, but man, what is going on with that? Why did you start it? And you know, like, let's dive into it.
Well, essentially, the Orange Sun was actually created by Satoshi's Journal. Jeremy, he was the initiator of the Orange Sun, and he ran it for about a year and a half. I think he started in like June 2021 or something like that, somewhere around there. And he ran it at nighttime, and he wanted to have a space for European, African-centric individuals, because we had at that time, what was it, Cafe Bitcoin every morning for American time zones. And it's like, well, why don't we have this for, you know, the African, if we all believe that, you know, Bitcoin can help a lot of the African people, like, why is there not Twitter spaces being ran during that time zone and for that specific area? So he ran it for a while, and he had actually had some work obligations that changed his schedule to where he couldn't, you know, because he's in, I think, New Mexico. So he was staying up till like 2 a.m, 3 a.m, running these spaces every day for almost a year and a half. And then he couldn't do it anymore. So then we had like shut it down for a little while, but I kept getting messages from other people like, hey, where's the Orange Sun? Why is the Orange Sun not on? Cause you know, not everybody tunes in every single day. So a lot of people weren't even aware that he wasn't able to do it anymore. And in that time frame, being on there every night, meeting a couple Africans, BitShack being one, and Bitcoin Ubuntu being another, I was able to connect with these guys. And I said, well, why don't we run the show ourselves and just make it just open source between the three of us. We'll all run the same account. And so that, you know, we don't always have to be online every single day, that we'll just take turns hosting it. So that kind of like how you guys do Good Morning Bitcoin, is that not, you guys all don't always run it, the same person running it every day. One person starts it one day, one person started. So we kind of rotate around just to kind of give somebody else, you know, if you don't feel like you need to be there that day, or maybe you just want to take a break, you don't always feel like I have to do this, I have to do this. But it gave a sense of community for the African and European time zone people, to where we could always have a meeting time zone of Orange, or just news in general. That's basically what it is. We just talk about recap news, kind of like what you guys do here a little bit. But we talk about the daily news every day, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. UTC, I think it is. Or is it African? It's South African time. Yeah, 8 a.m. South African time till 10 a.m. And but we'll usually run maybe, you know, 3 hours sometimes. Sometimes we go over, but we try to keep it relatively 2 hours every day, Monday through Friday. So that would be, if you're an American, that's Sunday through Thursday, because you got to remember African time is ahead. So we run, you know, just 5 days a week, just come and hang out, talk Bitcoin. If you have a project that's in that Africa, please DM us at Orange Sun Spaces and we'll set up a time zone, do an interview with whatever it is you're doing. We've interviewed KG from Manchakura. We've interviewed Glenn doing his thing with Bitcoin Ubuntu. We've interviewed Bitcoin Akasi with the guys doing the Surfer Kids. We're trying to run, actually, we're actually running, trying to help the Ugandan orphanage is actually running a geyser fund. So if you guys are looking to try to help the orphanage maintain being in business, because they're actually having problems with their governmental funding, they actually have a geyser fund page. You guys can connect with them and donate some sats to try to keep the Ugandan orphanage open. Whatever you guys feel like, if it's, even if it's $5, I mean, $5 goes a long way in American dollars over there, because obviously the currency controls and stuff. But that's not all. So I also have my own podcast, Axioms of Liberty. I basically do what Guy Swan does for Bitcoin, but I actually do it for liberty oriented content, libertarianism type stuff. And I just basically read to you books and articles that I feel are important. And then I have a commentary at the end. And it's been going, I've been doing that for about a year now. It'll be a year in May. So
I just want to back up though to the spaces that you said you're doing. So I'm very curious, because I've never been in those spaces, and I'm just curious about, do you do you know, question and answer? Because like I know that you said you do the news, but do you end up in a situation where you're doing question and answer? And what are, I'm very curious as to, you know, like if you do that, what type of, you know, like what type of stuff do people usually, you know, bring up in the space, you know, in terms of Bitcoin? Because I feel like depending on where you are, you know, you're having a different experience of Bitcoin, like, right? Like a Westerner, or just like, you know, somebody in North America, like your stuff is all just stacking and hardware wallets and multi-sig. And, you know, like, not to say that somebody from somewhere else isn't stacking hard, you know, using hardware wallets and or multi-sig, but I feel like maybe them, it's more a medium of exchange. Maybe them, it's some other thing that is, you know, like, I don't know. You know, I just don't know. I don't know what I don't know. And I'm willing to ask about it, because I'm a fool. So.
Well, in Africa, there's actually, it's more medium of exchange for them, because they live such hand to mouth that they don't have the ability to try to save. So if, for them, it's their currency. And this is where like KG's Manchakura, I don't know if you guys know really that is, but Manchakura is basically the ability for people who don't have smartphones and who don't have internet,
yeah,
to be able to send lightning sats in between phones, just using the USSD function. I think it's like *883. Or 8333, and then you type in, you know, your country's code or whatever, and you can just send lightning sats. Yes, it's a custodial service, but it still gives them the access and the ability to be able to send sats in between. And just getting them on off zero,
you can do it on like a non-smartphone is the point. Like,
yeah, that's the point. Yeah. The point is being able to give more individuals access to do this. Yeah, exactly. And KG's actually trying to create using a Java card. So it's like another thing you can take and overlay on your SIM card to create a custodial way of holding your sats on a non-smartphone device. It's really cool. It makes your SIM card basically a hardware wallet.
That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty cool little project that's going on. But like I said, it's more of a medium of exchange over there. So, but not to say that there aren't individuals in Africa that are stacking, because I mean, they obviously can. And yeah, by them using sats and denominating their world in sats, it makes it easier. And like, what, I don't know if you guys have interviewed Ray and seen what Ray's doing with No One's app over there and doing that stuff. And so that's actually helping more of the peer-to-peer, you know, people get in and out of their currency and into Bitcoin and back and forth a lot easier.
Yeah, Walton got us Ray Youssef on the show, and also Gregory George,
Nick or Gregory Nicholas. Yeah.
Nick Gregory, thank you. Yeah. Just remember, he has like the two first names or something. Anyways, yeah.
Yeah, all these people are so annoying. Don't trust them.
Don't trust them. He had some base takes, though. He had some base takes. That's absolutely awesome. So at this point, though, going back to the news, right? What is it, something specific, the specific type of news that you're targeting? Is it just Bitcoin? Because I know for us, like in Good Morning Bitcoin, we kind of just, you know, it's like it's something Bitcoin related. Sure, we'll pull it up if it's like macro, right? Like some type of world event that, you know, you could kind of pull in. So like, what do you guys, is that what you guys are doing?
Yeah, I just kind of scroll through Twitter myself and I find basically anything that's, I find it, I don't just like particularly focus on Bitcoin only content, but like if I'll find a thread from like, say, a philosophical person or something, like I'll read it, you know, on the show, and we'll actually cover articles too. Like every once in a while, usually on my nights off when I'm not at work, because I usually host these spaces while I'm at work myself. But when I'm at home, is that we'll do education. We call that an education night or read. So that's basically where I'll just read the whole time. So we've been covering Lynn Alden's Broken Money. So I'll do two chapters a night when I do that. And I just read the, you know, we went through all of Parker Lewis's Gradually Then Suddenly series. We've read a lot of Robert Breedlove's pieces. And now we're covering Lynn Alden's book. I think we're probably going to do Fiat Ruins Everything after we finish Lynn's book. But so, I mean, I don't just try to just do that. So if I'm at home and I'm off work and I can host a space at home, then I'll do like an educational read, because we don't want to just make
Bitcoin
it.
Bitcoin books are a scam.
Read
well,
better.
That's why
more
it's good that he's reading them all to everyone.
Yeah. So just pirate them and that kind of thing. Like Bitcoin books are a scam.
We're gonna just switch gears to the axioms of liberty.
Like Safdien is not even that great a writer, but at least he encourages piracy of his own books.
So does Lynn. Lynn actually encourages piracy in her book too.
Smart dudes.
I know of a situation where somebody was advocating for free Bitcoin content, and Safdien did not appreciate that. So he might advocate for piracy, but right, we're...
Let me guess, it wasn't the hat guy, right? The hat guy is selling his book for like $85, like,
I don't know.
On a table, like, bro.
Look, I don't know who it is. I just know that, that was kind of funny that, it's difficult, right? It's difficult. People, sure, they want you to take their stuff to make them more popular, but at the same time, they still need somebody to buy their books, so... Yeah, and that's okay. Safedine's got his brother now in on this, so everybody automatically, the credibility has now been lent. Okay, the credibility is now lent. So everybody loves his brother too. But anyways, this isn't about Safe. This is about TK. Let's go back to the axioms of liberty. So let me ask you this: why did you decide to start doing that? And can you dive a little bit more, because for me, you come across as like, I'm not trying to label you, but like ANCAP, some type ANCAP. That's the word. That's when I think of TK, I think of ANCAP.
This guy looks like he's got guns and he lives in the woods.
Yeah. Maybe not the woods.
I definitely grew up. Yes, guns. I definitely grew up in a small town in the middle of nowhere that was very farmer oriented, very family oriented. Like I lived in a small town where you could like know everybody's last name. Your graduating class that you graduated with, you knew literally everyone. Like you could identify who somebody was just by, oh, what kind of car do they drive? Okay, I've seen that car around. I know who that person is. Like, you know what I mean? It was a super small town. So I grew up hunting was a normal thing. We'd go shoot dove every fucking September. It was like normal. But anyway, that's kind of where I grew up. But I'm out in the city now in Orange County and it's not the same. But anyway, specifically why I started it is because one night in a Twitter Spaces, late into the night, I found myself on the opposite side of all things, lo and behold, immigration laws. This was before the problem of the immigration that's going on now. And I was the only one besides one other individual who was defending the right of people to be able to have the freedom of movement, no matter what. And I just couldn't understand how people couldn't grasp the concept of freedom is a very binary thing. It's either you have to ask somebody for permission or you are free to do what you want. And as long as you are free to do what you want, that freedom ends where somebody else's nose begins. And that's kind of the concept of what libertarianism is that you can do whatever it is you want as long as you're not either A, taking other people's stuff or hurting other people. That's it. That's all the rules are for libertarianism in a nutshell. And that's basically the easiest way to try to break it down to people to understand. And I was getting called a communist by like Jane Addams and this and that. And like, oh, well, you can't let that person just come into your house. And I'm like, what? Like a house is a defined structure that has borders that you're saying that this is mine. Like a border that's just this grassy knoll or desert below the country. Like, what? Like you're free to go about Canada back and forth, no problem. But we have this thing on the border where we should keep the Mexican people out. Like that, none of it makes that doesn't make any sense. And so I thought to myself, well, what can I do to try to help more people have more access to this content? And Guy Swan was very influential in my upbringing in Bitcoin because he was able to read these articles to me so that I could digest this information passively while I'm doing other things, doing work, doing chores or whatever. Yep. So I'm like, well, why can't I do that same exact thing for libertarianism? Because I found myself in a position of like, oh, I hear all these books these people are talking about, but I never actually get around to actually reading them. I'll do that later. So I said, you know what? Fuck this. I'm just going to start doing this now and I'm going to read and I'm just going to record myself doing it and then I'll post it on the internet. So if anybody else who's interested in this type of stuff can passively learn these topics and the complexities, because it's not a very simple thing to really understand. And like recently I've been doing intellectual property by Stefan Kinsella. And a lot of people try to defend that, you know, intellectual property is something that we should all defend and we should be able to have, people should have the right to defend their, you know, their stories, movies, whatever. And it's really, if you really break it down from libertarian first principles, it's not really a defensible thing, because like if you and I have an idea together, let's say we create mousetraps and we have a contract between each other, the contract between you and I is only binding between you and I. Bob over there, if he sees the patent or whatever, the contract doesn't stop him from creating the same plan or the same innovation or whatever it is. And so even if you try to go through this contract law thing, well, the contract law is only between two people. Like you can't bind that on a third person. And by having any type of intellectual property, you're basically stopping another individual from doing what they want with their own body in some way, shape or form, because intellectual property needs the existence of a state in order to be enforced. So when you kind of break it down, it really doesn't become, but long story short, that's basically why I started doing it.
I'd like to thank you and Mr. Guy Swan for doing the community service of reading for people that can't read. It's important that Bitcoin is made more accessible, and the thanks go to. I kind of find Guy Swan kind of boring. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, it's like, I don't know how you guys can listen to it. Like, the one time I used Guy Swan was useful. I was on the rooftop in Miami. And I got him to, I was hosting a Spaces, and like all these kind of big Bitcoin names were turning up. And then I saw Guy Swan, I got him to read the cocktail menu to this Twitter Spaces that I was hosting. And they got to know what drinks were
available. Walton's on fire today. He's on fire. So hold on though, I want to go back to this whole thing about
I mean, I can read, so like I don't need Guy Swan. Each to their own, guys. Each to their own. Oh, also, God. Bitcoin books are scams. Don't read. Just talk to
directing all of us. I just want to go back to this idea about the IP stuff, because I've heard this type of argument before, and it's kind of interesting because technically ideas are all out there, right? Like they're just all out there. So really, it all depends on which.
Well, if you believe Socrates, he would say that they're all inside you. But like, you know, each to their own.
I mean, but I mean, inside you is relative, right? Because even when you're inside, I mean, you're still outside, because no matter what, you're always inside your head.
You know the answer. You just have to, like, withdraw it from yourself.
Yeah, I guess so. But that's kind of the point, right? If everybody has access to all of these free-floating ideas, you know, it kind of brings about the idea. It brings about the concept of how do we control this and how do we own this? And essentially creating a process that's enforced by the state, which is backed by violence, is, you know, beneficial to a few, right? Under the guise of being useful to all.
Yeah, because it's like going back to Hazlitt's Economics in One Lesson, is the seen and the unseen. The seen is what we see is that, oh, we have all these nice things because patent laws exist. But what we don't see is that, would that be the same case? Would we not be further along had those ideas not been gated and other people allowed to innovate on those ideas? Because, like, think about like the iPhone and stuff like that. Would we had gone the same route if Apple wasn't gated in this little community where you can't touch our stuff and you can't make any implementations or make it better? Like, we don't know, because that was the path that we chose. We decided to say, hey, we should have proprietary ideas that only a small group of people should capitalize on forever and ever. Amen. Like, take Disney, for example. Like, Disney's been, going to the state and creating further and further their IP, internet, or the intellectual property on their shit forever, so that they can be the only ones who can produce Disney content. Like, would Disney not be better if more people were allowed to create side stories? Because, like, what is it? I don't know if you guys are big Halo fans, but I was a Halo fan for a really long time. And there's been, like, massive amounts of people that wrote side stories, like in the Star Wars universe as well. They've massive amounts of people wrote side stories before, because George Lucas just let people, you know, kind of tinker with the ideas. And we would have, if the money backs all the goods and services in economy, wouldn't more individuals creating more goods and services equal more wealth for everybody? That seems like a pretty logical step to draw from that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right. So, TK, we're going to wrap up the fireside chat. But before we do, how do the viewers and listeners get in touch with you?
Well, you guys can get a hold of me on Telegram. I think it's the same. No. I am on Telegram. I'm on Simplex. I'm on Signal, Twitter, ToxiCat27. Those are all the spaces. And then follow Orange Sun at Orange Sun Spaces. And you guys can tune in to us every night. If you're in the US, it would be 11 p.m. Pacific time. So that's when we go live.
All right, very cool. We're going to add that to the show notes for everybody. We're going to put the Twitter link and the Orange Sun and the Axioms of Liberty. Guys, this wraps up the fireside chat, and we are going to move on over to Wrecked.
Welcome back to Wrecked, sponsored by Proof of Ink. Proof of Ink is a Bitcoin apparel phenomena. They have some amazing designs, fabrics, and collaborations. If you head over to proofofink.com and use the code PLEB, you'll get 5.8% off all of the goodies that they sell. Once again, that's 5.8% off if you use the code PLEB over at proofofink.com. Hello and welcome back to Wrecked. There are a few things wrecked this week in my opinion, at least. The first, Coinbase wrecked. Why? Because instead of just implementing Lightning, they've gone to the most expensive, most corporate Lightning service provider to do something. I'm not quite sure what. Like, there's a press release, but, you know, who knows? Why can't Coinbase integrate Lightning, guys?
I'll let TK go first on this.
It was kind of funny because I've kept Coinbase on my phone, and then every time they give free shit coins, I just go in there, do the quiz, and then I flip for Bitcoin. But I've only got like 25,000 sats, and I can't withdraw it because it's been shit. So I'm like, well, maybe one day, I hope one day they'll integrate Lightning, and I'll be able to get these sats off of Coinbase. So I seen that he did it, but it's pretty sad. Just like you said, it's the most expensive way. Like, why don't they just partner with Voltage? Like, Voltage is like literally plug and play. You just pay him a flat fee, and so
Voltage somewhere in the middle at least. Like, but like Lightspark I don't see. That's like it's like getting PayPal to. It's like being a bank and using PayPal.
So let's just be honest, right? Like the truth of the matter is that it's going to somehow cost them more money initially to implement Lightning. And it's really a service that helps their customers like in the majority of ways. Whereas creating shitcoin vaporware with a bunch of, as you know, shitcoin vaporware fucking courses and all this stuff, that's like almost free, and it gives it creates tons of money, and it creates volume, and it creates activity. It does all of this stuff. So really, they've never really been incentivized to put in Lightning. If you ask me, they're doing this begrudgingly, right? Like they are being pushed, right? Like they're constantly being pushed and goose step down the line. Put fucking Lightning. Come on, Brian, put Lightning. And like you could see, like Paul, like they're, I don't even know what position he has there. Paul Agrawal dot shitcoin. Like, man, that guy just sits there and cries about Bitcoin. And all he wants to do is integrate this garbage ETH, which right now they're fighting over their monetary policy because, spoiler alert, it's changing again. So I'm sorry. Like for me, like the whole ClearSpark thing, I totally agree with you. Like this is, it's fucking wrecked. Like that is pure wrecked.
I mean, imagine paying these people, because I guarantee Brian probably pays all these employees ridiculous salaries to do the things that they do, and they can't even have the technical competence to be able to set up and run a Lightning node for his own company, that they have to outsource it to some other shitcoin fucking PayPal bullshit. It's absolutely hilarious. And if you've seen some of the technical takes that some of his people have on Twitter about Bitcoin, it's horrible. Like, even the most basic pleb with on Twitter and on Twitter has more knowledge about how Bitcoin works than these people.
Paul's crying about why Bitcoin isn't a security. I don't know if you saw that tweet. I think Walton, I know you saw that one.
Which tweet?
There was this tweet that Paul Agrawal or whatever his name is put out, like something he like retweeted something about Bitcoin, like, and its usage on the network, like how that's not viewed as a security or something like that. I don't. Anyways, just some ridiculous take.
Okay. Well, question two. What am I talking about? Story two, ladies and gentlemen, in a wrecked this evening, is what happens if you use fiat as your unit of account rather than Bitcoin? So Tim Draper, who I believe basically bought tens of thousands of Silk Road Bitcoin many years ago. Is that right, Phil? If I'm correct on my Bitcoin history. Yeah,
he was he's the dude.
I think I want to say he got, it was a fair few Bitcoin, right? But anyway, he says he invested 300 Bitcoin for 4% of a startup, and they returned him 15 Bitcoin 10 years later. But in dollars, it was a 15x on his money. And like, wait a second. So he got a 20th of the Bitcoin, but he got a 15x on the money. So
money is broken.
Math crazy, is hard, isn't though. It? Math is hard.
Just made me think of that meme, you know, with the kid.
So he would go 300x, right? Like,
I mean, this is, again, this kind of goes back to prove the point of how the divergence that is happening. I mean, it's becoming clearer and clearer to see. Tim Draper, this is an important tweet, you know, like this is a very important tweet. When guys like him start to recognize this, I think it gets worse. Because these guys are the big money, right? And when they start to realize that there's no or very little point in playing fiat games, what happens then?
Because, I mean, even that 15x on his money, like how much, what can that 15x on your money buy now that the money that you initially spent dollar value wise could have bought back
then?
Why
do a 20th of the Bitcoin is the point.
This is this is probably the worst wrecked story of the week. When I saw this, I was like, holy crap. I'm like, that is just brutal. It could have been in the numbers.
But
he went 15x in fiat terms, but if he had just held, he'd have gone 300x. Yeah. Right, because it's the 20th of the Bitcoin that he has.
I just think about it's funny how painful. He's trying to post it like it's a dunk. Like, look what I did, guys! I'm a genius. Like, no.
I think he's deliberately pointing out this point that if you can do very well in fiat terms and still get wrecked in Bitcoin. Because most people would be happy with a 15x, right? If you had like 100 grand, you made 1.5 million.
Does Bitcoin create a scenario where, essentially, in order to get investments, you have to either be like a magician or innovate a 10x on everything? I don't know if you understand what I mean, but essentially, what this proves is he didn't have to do shit. All he had to do, which we know, all he had to do was hold Bitcoin and he would have been just fine. He would have done better than all of this with less activity, which now means that in order to get investments, these people, once they realize this, now to get investments, like, what is it that you have to do to get somebody that has been stacking and accumulating Bitcoin and converting their wealth primarily into Bitcoin? How do you get them to invest in you or your idea? Right? You either have to be an amazing magician grifter, or you just created some 10x innovation that the market cannot compete with. I really think this is going to be interesting. I think Bitcoin changes how things come into existence. You know, I think it's going to change innovation.
And there's like people like Dave Portnoy. You see him, he was crying the other day that, everybody that just sat around and smoked weed and did nothing. And I have no respect for those guys. But like, when you really break it down, like sitting on your hands and doing nothing, that is absolutely the hardest single thing that you can do in Bitcoin. It's just don't do nothing. Don't fucking sell. Don't do what people think that, I have to do something because they can intervene. Is why they intervene is because they can. And if they can't intervene, they are actually better off if they couldn't. And I don't know. It's seeing the Dave Portnoy cry because he's a fucking idiot, doesn't know how to not hit the sell button at 20K. It's absolutely hilarious.
You know, the brainwashing where we believe that we constantly have to be doing something in order to be successful, right? Like if you're somebody who is not sitting there, you know, working 20 hours a day, you're just not going to make it. This serves a very small group of people very well, and it serves the individual very poorly. So again, it's just the brainwashing. Dave Portnoy, I sometimes think as a plant. I don't mean a physical, like vegetable plant. I mean a plant. I think he's fake. I don't know if he I've gone back and forth on this.
He looks more seed oil based than plant based.
Yeah. He does. Okay, sorry, Walton. Sorry, I know you have another. I think you have another story.
No, that's about it. All right. So for the third story in wreck this week, basically what happened I'll show you. In fact, we'll go step by step. I thought, hey, how do I want to find out like who got wrecked this week? All right, let's open up David Bailey's profile and just scroll and just I'll find something like
yeah, she's he's like gonna, doing he's this gonna come like, into right, a space so, and yell at us.
All right, I went okay, like something about like I don't know, just nonsense whatever. Just all right, oh this is a good one. All right, so
oh god,
I found someone on David's profile more wrecked than David. So that's a good place, apparently, to find someone who's wrecked. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about Phil Gibson, or like Romanian Phil Gibson or something like this. And did a podcast with the big blocker Roger Ver. Don't trust Verify.
I don't like this timeline.
I don't really understand. Like this guy is still sponsored by like who? I don't know. Like is this guy
Wasabi a spook?
Like, why are we platforming Roger Ver? And why are so many people listening to this? I mean, I guess that's why, is because he gets the clicks.
That's unfortunately what ends up happening. And yeah, not gonna lie, last cycle, I feel as though there wasn't that many Bitcoiners that outwardly were shilling and buying shitcoins. And again, everybody can, you know, like, I don't care what anybody does in their personal life. As long as you understand that you're gambling and you understand what it is that you're doing, it doesn't matter. The tragedy occurs when you are
basically, if you're an adult, you can consent to as much homosexuality as you want, whether that be on chain or on, like, you know, different layers, like, you know, be safe out there, people.
Yeah. But this, I feel like this cycle has a lot more outwardly shitcoining and degeneracy from Bitcoiners. And yeah, the I was kind of this, and again, like, I was pretty disappointed when I saw that. At first, I thought Vlad was just trolling. I thought he was just trolling for views. I know that he gets upset about Pedro's clout. But I just thought that I thought he was just trolling, but it turns out that maybe he's not. And anyways, I mean, look, you know, to each their own, right? How much you can do about that. I think people, you know, there were some people that spoke some pretty harsh words in his, you know, in his threads. And there were some other people that were offering support. Yeah, man, it's, you know, like, it's not what I would do. It's not what I'm doing, but like, again, right? Like, sometimes, man, people are willing to quote unquote sell their souls for different prices, right? And that's what it is.
Being a 2021,
I wouldn't
Bitcoiner,
know about that.
Being a Bitcoiner that's only been in since 2021, I think it's hilarious that I get to relive the block size wars again with Roger Ver making a comeback with this new book. What is it? Hijacking Bitcoin or whatever. Oh. I recently saw there was another hour long podcast that. With somebody who I usually pretty respect, Anarchast. I don't know if you guys know him, but he's a prominent libertarian anarchist type person. And he's really good at articulating philosophy and logic when, you know, argumentation-based ethics type stuff. And he's got a manifesto called the Anti-Subjectivist Manifesto. It's really good. But anyways, he interviewed Roger, and I don't see how somebody who wants to pursue truth can be so blind to Roger's hoodwinking of I'm the good guy, everybody else is the bad guy, CIA co-opted Bitcoin, and that's the end of the story. And it just, so I connected him and Guy Swan together, and he's going to interview Guy Swan to try to set the record straight as to what particular reasons Bitcoin took the trade-offs that it did and what reasons why that was. And he doesn't seem to understand that concept. So I'm hoping that Guy Swan can get on Anarchast and actually, you know, sway him back the other way, because obviously Roger's totally co-opted him.
Yeah, he should read the Block Size Wars. I don't think, you know, Roger, so it's interesting, right? So this whole situation with Bcash, for, you know, the people that weren't there, you know, it was all the big quote-unquote corporations, right? The New York Agreement wasn't made up of plebs, right? It wasn't just like random Bitcoiners. Like, this was made up of at the time, the powerful institutions around Bitcoin, and they were about to co-opt it, and Roger was the fucking Pied Piper. And this is what people don't realize. Like, this isn't just some innocent, some guy, like, that's just sitting there like, oh, I love freedom money, and everyone should be able to buy coffee for free. No, this guy was the fucking voice for the monsters. Okay, like, that was Bitcoin winning. That was actual Bitcoin winning. And so now people don't remember this. All of these people, right, from the block size wars, hey, they've all managed to grow a whole bunch of, I'm sorry to say this, terrible businesses on the backs of noobs and naive people getting fleeced with their shit coins, right? Guys like Vinny Lingam that are just terrible fucking actors in this space, you know, like, they were all too happy to go alongside and sign that agreement and try to coerce Bitcoin. Fuck you. You know, like, he is not some, just because, like, he's like some libertarian, and that's probably why this guy got interviewed, right? It's, and again, I see so many people fall into this trap, right? They, because they're either ANCAP or libertarian or something like that, they look at Bitcoin Cash, and again, it's this mind fuck of feelings. Okay, you think of the words and you're like, oh, it brings about such wonderful feelings, everyone has this peer-to-peer cash. Like, no. This is a co-opted shit chain, okay, that attempted to try to destroy the actual ability for us to opt out of this fucking system, right? Like, we wouldn't be having this with Bcash. Anyway, sorry. Today I'm in a rant mood. Guys, let us know what you think. Put it in the comments. Walton, is that it for Rekt?
I think if you can get Phil to, like, just swear in the middle or something, like, cuss in the middle, like, he sounds kind of important. Like, I was, like, half not paying attention at that point, and then Phil's like, fuck this. And I'm like, wait, what? Something got Phil mad? Like, I mean, I should pay attention right now. This is important.
Super good, get the Canadian mad.
Yeah, it's like, how do you get the Canadians mad? All right, guys. Well, what's up, Walton?
Fuck shit coins. Yeah.
That's right. Fuck shit coins.
All right. So, up next.
All right, guys. Up next, we've got the Hopium.
The Hopium.
Hopium is brought to you by CypherSafe. Check them out at CypherSafe.io if you appreciate fine craftsmanship and enjoy pet rock collectibles. Check out the Bitcoin Relo Triangle, 16 ounces of solid titanium made by a fellow Bitcoiner. Check them out at CypherSafe.io. All right, guys, for the Hopium, let's dive into it. Here we go. We got a tweet from Bitcoin Magazine. Breaking: Kingdom of Bhutan to increase mining capacity 6x ahead of the Bitcoin halving to 600 megawatts. Nation state FOMO is setting in. Okay, and this one actually does have a source. Okay, so that's pretty good.
Wait, to how many megawatts?
600.
600. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, look,
there's some, like, West Texas mining farms, like, individually that have that sort of numbers, if not bigger.
I think this is why it's Hopium, right? Because it's the Kingdom of Bhutan, right? So essentially, it's the idea of the nation state.
Bhutan,
right?
These nuts.
Thank God we're not a family show, Walton.
the Ethiopian government too, doing their mining as well. Yeah. So it's like more nation states are starting to pay attention, and hey, maybe we should get some hashing going.
You'll notice the nation states aren't buying Bitcoin; they're mining Bitcoin. Or in the case of the United States, they're stealing their Bitcoin. Stopping criminals,
civil
stopping
asset
criminals.
Forfeiture.
Yes, civil asset forfeiture.
Confiscating these nuts.
Yeah, pretty much. That's it. The U.S. government, and yeah, here we go. Tweet from Cynthia Lummis or Loomis. I think Loomis would just be one M. It doesn't matter. The U.S. government is currently the largest nation state hodler of Bitcoin. No, nation state thief of Bitcoin. We are about to forfeit our lead to China should the U.S. government hodl. Yeah, I mean, I would hodl my stolen Bitcoin too, right? Like, if I got to go and steal, you know, that much Bitcoin, I'd be hodling it too. I wouldn't be selling it. But guess what? When you're a government that prints their own money, right? And they think that they're all powerful and omnipresent, you don't give a shit. I know that we care about Bitcoin, but
I mean,
just to be clear,
the government don't directly print the money. The central bank they get told to, basically, blah blah blah, etc. etc. Phil doesn't actually think that. He's just, but essentially,
bonds,
that's the point.
Yes.
That's the point. It's all bullshit. That's what happens.
But this is it. Like, they don't care. Like, I think they don't. I think we don't appreciate that they care less about Bitcoin than we think. Okay? So, yeah. I think they should hodl it. They're just going to sell it. Hopium. It's just whatever.
Yeah, they're not going to hang on to it. They're going to get rid of it. Welcome. Yeah, Let them. That's better distribution for everyone else. Pick up the cheap sats while you can, guys. Anything under 70K is a steal.
If the business of government was a publicly traded corporation, they would be completely bankrupt. Nobody would actually buy their shares. I'm sorry?
Missing the point. Re-elections 4 years or less. Bitcoin over that time period, it sucks. So,
Exactly, right?
That's literally engineered. I think people think, oh, why is the timing of Bitcoin such that it is? I think you have to have incentives of Bitcoin that mean the politicians don't want to touch it. And I think, yeah, the fact that it is so liquid means that over, I think, short periods, you have more volatility, and therefore politicians are scared of it. So instead of holding it for the long term, hodling it for the country, they're gonna sell it because they can pay for some bullshit.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're a club that spends money on bullshit.
That's right, they are. And none of us are in that club. It's a big club. All right, last one, last hopium thing, and then we chatted up about this. All right, so this one's from Bitcoin Archive. Look, I hate this type of stuff, and this is why I'm showing it. Anyways, big banks are reaching out to Bitcoin miners directly to buy Bitcoin because of supply shortages on exchanges. CEO of Hut 8 Mining. Okay, so again, right? I think that that's, I actually think that that's bullshit. I don't think that it's true that that's actually happening. I'd love to believe, I was talking about this with Toxicat before the show started. I'd love to believe this type of hopium, right? Because it sounds great and, you know, NGU, but I just think it's total nonsense because there is liquidity on the exchanges. There's still, at least, if I'm not mistaken, at least a million Bitcoin on exchanges.
Like 1.5 or 1.3 million.
So
like that.
So you're going to tell me, like, all of a sudden, okay, so there's not enough liquidity on the exchanges. ETFs are buying hundreds of thousands of Bitcoin, but yet 1 million isn't enough. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I just, these stories don't make sense to me. And this is why I think they're hopium. I get it. They make people feel good. But, like, if feeling good has brought us to this place in reality where we live derivative lives of the lives we should have, maybe we should stop always trying to feel good. Maybe it's bullshit, and maybe it's kind of how we're being manipulated. Anyways.
I saw a post the other day that really made me think, and it said that Bitcoin can never be illiquid because every Bitcoin has a price in which it will move to the market in to be sold. At some point, every Bitcoiner has a price in which that Bitcoin is going to come out of cold storage and get moved to either an exchange or even just another wallet, you know, pleb to pleb, peer sharing. Like, everyone's got an exchange rate in which they're going to, you know, move that Bitcoin. So really, this whole terminology of, oh, the market's illiquid is just, like you said, hopium bullshit.
Yeah, I like that, by the way. I like that it's not a, I don't know if it's a tweet that you read or something, but I like that, you know, Bitcoin will never be illiquid. And it is true because there's always an exchange rate. You know, there's always,
it's the most liquid asset in the world.
It is. And I think the more people realize that, like, I remember when I finally came to that conclusion, I was like, wow, I'm like, this is just, you know, over almost $1 trillion of liquidity just sitting there 24/7.
It's the new cash. It's the new cash.
Yes. Yeah. People do not get it. And when this actually clicks, it's going to be insane. It's going to be insane. Anyways, guys, that's how we're going to end the hopium. We're going to leave you right there on the cliffhanger. It's going to be insane. All right, but that wraps up the hopium segment. And it also wraps up this week's show. Guys, before we go, TK, one more time. How do the viewers and listeners get in touch with you?
Find me on Nostr. If you guys aren't Nostr, please get out there. Try the new Nostr clients. Nostrudel, Corny Chat.
Heard about that one.
Definitely getting out there. It's fun stuff, guys. Check it out. But ToxicCat27 on Twitter, at Axiom of Liberty, all one word, and at Orange Sun Spaces, all one word.
Very nice. Very nice. We are going to add that to the show notes. Guys, don't forget, like, subscribe, help us grow the channel. Don't forget to check us out on our audio-only platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. If you want to stream a sats, check us out on Fountain.fm. You can stream a sats through Breeze. Walton, you're pretty feisty today.
Fuckshitcoins.com. Please like and subscribe. We will see you next week. More toxic than the most toxic Bitcoin maxi ever. They said he's more toxic. More toxic than the most.